Welcome to Beyond 100K, a special series introducing you to the MFR Coaches Beyond 100K Mastermind. Over the next few weeks, we'll bring you insightful conversations with guests who will share their experiences inside the Mastermind. From discussing strategies for creating second offers to insights on hiring additional MFR therapists, overcoming obstacles, and scaling their MFR businesses beyond the 100K milestone. Sit back and enjoy the episodes.
Welcome to the MFR Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how you can create a six-figure MFR practice. I'm your host, Heather Hommel. Not only have I been practicing MFR for 11 years, I'm also a life and business coach, especially for MFR therapists. My goal is for you to understand how to get fully booked, how to talk to your clients, and how to make sure they understand what's possible for them with MFR treatment. I'm here to help you stop under-earning, overworking, and burning out. I'll lend support so you can create the MFR practice you've always wanted. Learn how you can do it too, even if you live in a tiny town, and even if you're just starting out, and even if you've ran your practice for years. Let's go.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the MFR Coaches Podcast. Today's episode is a continuation of the Beyond 100K series, where I interview mastermind students on their experience inside the Beyond 100K Mastermind. Today, you're going to hear me interview Brandon Sutton and Margaret Henricks. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this special series, Beyond 100K, where we talk about what happens inside the Mastermind, Beyond 100K Mastermind, with the MFR coach. I'm joined today with Margaret Henricks. She's the owner of Renew MFR. Margaret, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and where it's located?
Yes. Well, hi, everybody. Heather, thank you for having me. My business is Renew Myofascial Release. I am located in a suburb outside of Memphis, Collierville, located in Collierville, Tennessee. And yeah, I'm there. I'm open. I'm always accepting new patients. So renewmfr.com is my website.
Awesome. Well, people will send people your way. That's so good. Okay. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is because while you've been in the mastermind, you have been one of the three people that were not fully booked when you first started the mastermind. But since you've been in, and we're only like about halfway through it this time, you've created fully booked for yourself. So I kind of want to talk about what was it like actually not being fully booked and being a part of the mastermind for you? Like, what did you struggle with? And then what it's been like since you created the fully bookedness. So let's start with like, how was it coming in kind of as an underdog, like not being fully booked?
Yeah, coming in as an underdog, that's really kind of exactly like how I felt. Is one of those things where it was like, I'm not real sure that I fit here starting out. And I put a little bit of pressure on myself to come up with this second offer because people were starting to come up with things. And then, it just got me spinning. And then you and I had a conversation and you were like, what if the mastermind for you is all about getting fully booked? And it just helped me so much to narrow my focus and to really focus on that. And then being in the mastermind at the same time as that happening was actually really valuable because everybody was so excited for me and so supportive, but also like everybody else was leveling up too. And I was able to take note at that time. My brain was able to calm down a little bit and I was able to take note of how you go about launching a new product, and also you might think that a second offer is going to solve all your problems and you don't have to worry so much about getting fully booked because you have this second offer thing. It was a little bit of a thought diversion for me, I think. Mm-hmm. And being in the mastermind and seeing how everybody else is, like I said, leveled up, but they also are having the same feelings I am. And, even though we aren't going through the exact same things, we also are really experiencing the same feelings and the same thoughts. And so we're all able to support each other. The biggest thing is it has opened my eyes to what more is possible for me.
Yeah, I love that.
Like I'm dreaming bigger now,
Yeah. And I think that it's one of those things where you meet the qualifications to get in the mastermind. You know, like you're either fully booked or almost fully booked. You have a certain income level that had to be met. You know, you checked all these boxes.
Right.
And then you get in there and then you're like, oh shit, like almost everybody else is already fully booked and they're moving on to this other step. And what I appreciate about you and the other people I'm going to be talking to about this is that while I know that there was like some comparison and there was like some moments of like, do I belong here? You didn't stay stuck in that. Like you actually received the coaching and you received it. It's at a higher level in this group. And you were able to receive that higher level coaching and move yourself forward. When we first met, you were working in a school, commuting really far for your job. And I think you felt very handcuffed to that job. Like it would take forever for you to leave. How long has it been since you fully left your job and have had your MFR practice?
It has been since last May. So how many months is that, Heather? 7, 8,
yeah,
9.
So we're coming up like just short.
Yeah, just shy of a year.
Just shy of a year. What are your thoughts now about having your MFR practice now? It's less than a year later and you are as successful as you are. Like, can you believe it?
No. And yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, I have those moments where I just, you know, and you taught, this is one of the things that you've always taught us to do is like, just take a minute and sit back and look at what all you've created. Like, look at what all you've done. And then, you know, at the same time, there's the flip side of that.
It's a big deal. And I think sometimes we forget like how much of a short time period has actually passed. Like, cause I think when you're in coaching, it's just normal to look around, like everybody's, you know, having 5 or 10K months, everybody's getting fully booked, everybody's moving on to the next thing. And then when it happens for you or yourself, and it happens in this collapsed amount of time, we just normalize it in the group. But outside of the group, it's not normal to create a successful business the first year it's open. Like that doesn't happen for everybody on their own. And everybody's, I think, idea of success is different too. Like for us, the markers are that you get fully booked, that you're creating the income that you want, that you're able to pay yourself, and that you're able to take time off. And, you know, some people's markers of success are like, they're just paying their bills. So it's fun when, you know, you can actually create something that's self-sustaining and more than just self-sustaining. On a personal note, I wanted to kind of ask you what had to change about your identity in order for you to leave your job and become an MFR therapist only?
Oh, wow. Well, first about my identity, I really had to do some work around, you know, I am an MFR therapist. Mm-hmm. Like really integrating that belief was a challenge. And now it just rolls off my tongue, like no big deal, right? Because I'd always identified as I'm an occupational therapist, you know? So the shift in that, it required me to also look at my other beliefs in myself. And so it really just, I started to see myself blossom out of this as I'm working towards, I want to identify with this and, you know, making it part of who I am and the evolvement of all of that. I loved it. The feeling was good. It was a positive move in my life. And since then, I'm like, I'm just not willing to go backwards. I'm not willing to go back. Like, this is where we're going and I'm not giving up, you know, and you know me, I have not given up.
No, never. Yeah.
I thought there was no way that I was going to be able to pay rent the next month, you know, and then the next thing happens and then I'm getting a divorce. And then that really made me get intimate with my finances mm-hmm. and made me really start looking at numbers and how to work that into my business and all the coaching that I got along the way. And it just helped me be like, I can do this. I'm really good at figuring out how to make things work. When I really want something, I'm really good at figuring this out. I just had to keep reminding myself of that. And you guys were so supportive in all of that because it was so dramatic in the beginning. And that even made me reevaluate, what do I want my business to look like? you know, I just really started looking at things more seriously, I guess. And as I've worked through that stuff, more clients have started coming.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, as I've made, you know, gotten clearer about what, even if it's just as simple as what I do and don't want in my schedule, you know, as I've gotten clearer on those things, it's just gotten so much easier.
I love that. Can we back up for a minute and talk about you building a business and deciding to get a divorce at the same time? What that's been like for you?
Sure. Yeah. Part of me is still kind of like looking back at the past 3 months going, well, how did I get through that? You know, and then the other part of me is going, of course you got through that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was kind of that thing, like I said, Heather, where it really forced me to sit down and look at my numbers and make a plan. And when I did that, you know, I really had to look at like, what's important in my life? Do I want to continue to live in Memphis? You know, there was a lot to think about in there. And once I kind of got through all of that, it was just, there was the heavy emotional part. And fortunately, through this work, you become very close with your patients. My patients gave me lots of love and support during that time. And, you know, you guys had to help coach me on, you know, it's okay to take time off. And when your goal is fully booked and you see it and it's so close and it's right there and you're like, no time off, no time off, like is playing in the back of your head. I mean, y'all give me that information and just remind me of what I needed during that time was just so beneficial. Y'all were just like, we got you.
Mm-hmm. And taking time off is sometimes the thing that helps you gain rest and clarity so that you can handle what you need to handle so that you do have the capacity to be fully booked as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of learned, you know, as it started happening, I was just like, oh, wow. Oh, okay. My body was like, I don't like this. Nope, not going to participate. And then the last 2 weeks have been fine. But the first month was, it was hard on my body. And a lot of thoughts came up about, am I really going to be able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then I was just kind of like, well, I have to do this. Like, I guess knowing that you don't have a fallback anymore makes you take a little bit of a different stance and get down in the nitty gritty a little bit more and figure out, how do I get fully booked? Who is my ideal patient? You know, when I first started coaching, I had no clue because I was just starting this work. And so I just, you know, kind of skipped over that exercise. Well, that's really important stuff to know at this point, you know? And so we got to go back and it's doing things like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, your effort to stay in coaching and to continue on your journey has helped for when I think it's really common to skip over things and be like, oh, this doesn't apply to me yet. And then find out, you know, 6 months in like, oh, maybe I should have made or could have made that decision earlier so that I could have a different result now. But then you get to just make the decision now and start acting from where you are now and everything falls into place. So it's not like anything has gone wrong. It's just like, yeah, there's kind of this way of doing things in the program, like especially from in the foundational program and then moving it, transitioning into the mastermind. But again, you get to make the decisions about what you do based on where you're at and where your goals are going. And sometimes we don't know how all of those pieces are going to fit in. So it's like circling back, making new choices, making new decisions, not a problem.
No, not a problem at all. It's just a realization. It's like, oh, I did skip over that. Let's go back to that, you know? And it's really, the whole thing has been really empowering and it's expanding my vision for what's possible. Just getting through this time and everybody's showing up still, you know?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, this was never my plan, you know? I mean, I've only been married a few years.
Mm-hmm.
It was never my plan and it certainly wasn't something that I willingly wanted to do. I just, you know, you get to a point where it's like, this is what needs to happen. It needs to happen now. And I just figured out a way to make that happen.
Yeah. Which is pretty badass. Like, nobody wants to go through a divorce. Nobody gets married thinking like, oh, I'll just get divorced if this doesn't work out. You know, I mean, maybe people do, I don't know. But it definitely seemed to me like this was a hard decision to make and also scary because you didn't know factually if you could afford to get a divorce, right? Or afford to take care of yourself going forward. So I think for people listening, just knowing that someone like them has created a job for themselves, created a business, became a CEO, while also making the decision to divorce. And you're not only surviving, but you are thriving most of the time. I mean, like, I know that this is not just roses and unicorns and rainbows, and you're just out there like living your best life. Like, there's definite like times of sorrow, and it's a hard thing to go through, but it's not keeping you stuck.
Right.
And the Margaret that I met, I don't know, a year or two ago when we first started working together, I don't know that she would know that she'd be in this position today, thriving the way that you are. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And Margaret, a year and a half ago, you would not have known what to do. I didn't know what to do. We have coaching calls from then where I have my head buried in my hands, boohooing about this relationship. That replayed in my head a few times. And I was like, so how many rounds of coaching is this going to, are you going to let this play through, Margaret? Like, how many times are we going to hit repeat? You know, like, where does the cycle end?
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that you've empowered yourself to end it now, but not let it keep you stuck. It's not like you are sitting there traumatized. It's like, this is happening. And it's like, and my business is successful. It's kind of like what my coach, Brooke Castillo, taught me, like, life is 50-50. And I think this is just such a good example of that 50-50. You can have something super shitty happen, like terrible, like getting a divorce, and thriving business at the same time. You can hold both at the same time. One doesn't have to like outweigh the other thing. You can have them both at once. A lot of people wait for the perfect time to open their business, or they wait, you know, 20 years until life is easier to leave their spouse. Like, imagine what's possible for you still, like, making these decisions, and you just continue to move forward. It's kind of exciting.
If I waited until it was easier, there's no telling how long I would wait.
When is it easier? When does life quit lifing?
Right. Never.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, I wasn't like hyper-focused on work during this time. I was also like really focused on my self-care. Like, I was taking time to get treated, you know, spending more time with my family and my friends, getting extra sleep. So it wasn't like I was hyper-focused and, you know, trying to avoid feelings in by doing more work.
Yeah, I love that you said that.
It wasn't hard. But I think that, you know, the part where I was still nurturing myself the easiest and best way that I could while doing that, while still being determined to get fully booked and have my best month ever and stand in my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
It all just kind of came together like that. You know, it all just, I'm in a good place now. Like, if this is how life is going to go, I'm good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And also, I love that you put out there that it's like, you took time to take care of yourself. Like, this fully booked result was not a result from hustle. It was a result from rest, rejuvenation, and purposeful decision-making.
Absolutely.
And I think also the other thing I've noticed you doing is like consistent evaluation of what's working and what isn't working and what you're going to do differently going forward, and constantly asking like, okay, here's the scenario. Here's what happened. Like, here's what I think I should do differently next time. Here's what worked. And getting that feedback and taking it and trying it again.
Yeah.
And just constantly like cycling through that until now, like, you know, where you're at right now, it's just like, oh yeah, I know how to sell MFR. I know how to get fully booked. I know how to make money on demand. I know how to create client demand. And then I also know how to take rest. I know how to make appointments and pay for myofascial release for myself. And I know that these certain things are like going to be toxic interactions. So I just don't have them if I don't need to.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just really being honest with yourself and those things too, and just letting go of the judgment. Like, there's nobody looking over your shoulder when you're writing your evaluations. You know, just be really honest.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I had a little trick with doing evaluations to motivate myself to do them. And it's, I made a barf jar just for evals.
I love it.
And because for whatever reason, I really got joy out of putting three marbles or four, however many patients I saw that day. When I came home, I got to get that many marbles out and put that many in the jar. And there was something very satisfying about that for me.
Yeah, I think that's such a good idea. Yeah, that kind of motivates me to like dump my bead jar out. That's my barf jar. For anyone that's new listening to this, a barf jar is basically a jar you put a bead into every time you do something that's like barf worthy. Every time you take an action in your business that like makes you want to die, but you don't die, you put a bead in there. So I think I should dump mine out. I haven't filled up a barf jar in years. And I think if this is like a year where I'm trying to really go for like $1 million in revenue, I don't even know if it's mathematically possible, but like, what do I have to lose by filling that up? You know?
Yeah. So,
yeah. I'm gonna start again.
Yeah. There's just something satisfying about doing that. I don't know. So yeah, that's been one of my little tricks.
I love it.
It's just because sometimes I'm like, no, I'm ready to go home. And I'm like, nope. Yeah. I'll tell myself, I'm like, you've already got three beads. You can put three beads in. Let's do one more. We're going to do four. I mean, it's silly, but it works.
Yeah. And at the end of the year or the end of the month, if that thing is like really full, and then I think you have a lot of results from doing those barf worthy activities, like the results show up, right? Like getting fully booked. And it's not like you just got fully booked and there was like no struggle and no drama and no problems, right? There was a lot of drama, a lot of struggle. Like that's normal, right?
Yeah.
The difference between you and I think a lot of other people is like your vulnerability to share exactly what was going on in the moment and your willingness to work through it until you really understood the full picture and you were able to separate the drama from the facts and then make decisions based on the facts instead of all of the drama.
Yeah.
So most people are just operating at like drama level 1000
yeah.
all the time.
I know I used to.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. And we just think everybody else is responsible for our reactions to things. And we don't even realize like we're just reacting all day instead of responding. And there's just a big difference. It also changes, I think, our tolerance to the people around us too. So, you know, like we start to see things in other people and we don't want to be surrounded by certain people anymore. Would you say that's true for you?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I mean, the love, the respect, the want for the other person to be successful in this divorce is still there, but we're just so different.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
And old Margaret would just look past things or, you know, be like, oh, I can handle that. I can deal with that. And I used to do a lot of compromising.
Mm-hmm. Or making yourself wrong if you didn't like.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. And it's just, like you said, it's just becoming less tolerant of that, you know, and just deciding that you want something different for yourself.
Yeah. I think that's a really beautiful thing is like being empowered to know that you can just decide, like nothing actually has you to be going wrong. You can just decide that you want something different for yourself and make it happen. And nobody has to be wrong for it. It's just like, no, this is just what I'm doing. It's very good.
Yeah.
Well, what else would you like to share about your time in the mastermind? Is there anything we left out?
I will say one thing that I really enjoyed about it is the fact that it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not really wanting my review of the mastermind right now, but it's smaller and it's more intimate and it's easier to be vulnerable in that setting. And I don't know. I think that it's good for anyone that is considering like adding people, you know, hiring staff or just wanting to kind of take things to the next level, whatever that means for them. Taking things to the next level was getting fully booked for me.
Yeah.
And some of those coaching calls, I showed up laying in my bed, the camera off and everything, but I showed up And that's it. That's what it all comes down to, is showing up and having that additional time, the additional coaching time in a smaller group where you don't, like, you know, because there's lots of feelings around money. So, you know, the people that are just starting out might get really discouraged by people that are making $20,000 a month, you know? So, and where they're still being encouraged to go bigger. And I think just starting out, that would be a very overwhelming setting. I think it's nice to have the two settings, you know, where you can, it's the basics when you're in the 12-month group, and it's great. And you can get anything answered there as well, you know, like you said. But yeah, the mastermind just allows you to go deeper and to really see what is possible. And you kind of get a heads up on what kind of issues you're going to have or what kind of feelings and thoughts you're going to have when you do decide to hire someone, or you do get a bigger space, or, you know, all in all of the things, right?
Yeah. You start to get a peek behind the scenes, like, oh, when I do that, this is what I can anticipate, which is super helpful, because then when it happens to you, it like is already kind of normal.
Yeah. Well, you kind of already, and the things that really resonate with you will really resonate with you. And when that time comes for you, you'll already have a belief about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least that's what I've seen happen with me in coaching and in the progression of my business.
Yeah. I love that so much. Well, congratulations on getting fully booked. It's been a pleasure to watch you create that. And I think it happened a lot quicker than you thought it would.
I'm just so grateful. And I'm so happy to be helping all the people I'm helping and continuing to get the word out there about myofascial release. I mean, the whole world needs to know.
Yeah. Okay. Tell everybody again the name of your business and where they can find you.
I am Margaret with Renew Myofascial Release, and I'm located in Collierville, Tennessee, just outside of Memphis. And my website is www.renewmfr.com.
Awesome. All right, you guys, send patients to Margaret. She's happy to see them if they live in that area. Thanks for being on the show, Margaret.
Thanks for having me.
Calling all MFR therapists. Get ready to level up your practice and unlock your full potential with the Beyond 100K Mastermind. Applications open on April 12th, 2024. Enroll by April 14th, and you'll receive a complimentary and private one-on-one call with me, Heather, valued at over $500. This personalized session will provide tailored insights to accelerate your growth. Join us for a free training session on April 12th at 1 p.m. Central, with an encore presentation April 14th at 3 p.m. Central. Learn how to scale your MFR business, improve client outcomes, establish your authority, increase your income, and even carve out time for yourself with 6 weeks off every year. Don't miss this opportunity to take your practice to the next level. Sign up for the free training today. Go to themfrcoach.com/webinar. Brandon Sutton, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well, Heather. Thanks for having me today.
Awesome. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about you, how you came to MFR, and your business name and where you're located?
The name of my business is Active Life Bodywork and Nutrition, and I live in Moorhead City on the coast of North Carolina. And myofascial release, I got into bodywork about, I guess I graduated from school 26 years ago, and I felt like there was more. And I knew that I liked the structural, and I knew that I liked fascial. And so I have been doing the Barnes method of myofascial release for 15 years. And I find it very effective for myself and for my clients.
Awesome. How did you first hear about myofascial release?
Gosh, I think back in 97, when I was in school, I think I saw a picture of John in a magazine or something like that. And at the time, I wasn't ready, but it seemed very intriguing. I had initially been interested in other types of structural work, but I found myself with the Barnes method because it was easier to take the classes.
Oh, fun. Because they were like closer to you, or you just thought it was easier to get to them?
Well, it was easier cut up in smaller chunks of continuing ed like that. And so, you know, I feel like everything leads you to things and everything happens for a reason. So I'm glad that I found it.
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how and why you first came to coaching. You originally did my 12-week program, And then you came back for coaching and joined the mastermind. So let's talk about like what was going on a few years back when you first came to coaching.
I can't recall exactly what was going on, but I feel like that I realized that a lot of us, or myself, I'll speak for myself, are alone in our business. I'm a, you know, solopreneur over here. And, you know, my same thoughts just keep running around in my head. And there's, you know, I'm not getting any fresh ideas particularly that way. And so I liked the fact that there was a container of other folks doing the same thing that I was doing. And someone such as yourself, after I heard one of your podcasts or looked through your book at a seminar, to see that someone could help you think through or to look at your brain with you and see where you might be having errors. And one, learn how to do these things for yourself and utilize that while you're in a container with others and how useful that would be. And at the time, I wasn't even sure about raising my price and how we're, most of us have been traditionally overworking and under earning. So I was pleasantly surprised to be able to do that and to be able to integrate online booking, which is something I had never thought I would do before, nor would I be able to set it up. I'm not particularly a computer tech person. But anyway, we were able to get through all those things and to have someone to hold you accountable and to, again, to have other feedback from all the other members going through the same thing and just having other people going through the same thing that you're going through. Even just that, it's like being witnessed in your experience of what you're going through. And I found that to be very useful.
Oh, good. Yeah, I remember that. I remember when you were trying to get online booking and how frustrating it was. And I was like, Brandon, just pick a system that you like. You don't have to pick what I said. You know, if that doesn't work for you and you're like, oh, okay. And then you found something that worked for you and off you went. That is good news. So time has passed since then and you joined the mastermind. We're almost ready to be done with this first round of the mastermind. When you came in, were you feeling like an underdog or what were you thinking coming in to the mastermind?
You know, it's really funny. So many times in life, we think we know what it is that we want to do and then something else totally transpires. My initial goal was I felt that I was fully booked at the time because it was at the end of my busier season because I live on the coast. And so I had wanted to integrate some other things as second offers or to some help to get that in place and things like that. But that's not what I ended up working on. Sometimes one gets too far ahead of themselves, or I got too far ahead of myself and needed to actually come back, flip back, then slow down. And what I really needed to do was to go get therapy for the therapist because I was working in pain over here helping people to get out of pain and trying to tell them to do something that I hadn't really done, which was to get enough work to be able to feel good in my body and be able to do the things and serve the people in the best way that I could. And somehow I didn't really realize it like that. And it really helped me see that with a lot of encouragement. I appreciate that, Heather, to see that that was what I needed to do. And in doing that, I've been back now from Sedona at Therapy on the Rocks. I did a 2-week intensive and I found that it took like 6 weeks to integrate all of that. It really did. And so it's been 6 weeks. And now what I'm finding is that I see it even more. Like first I understood the concept of one needs to have lots of sessions closer together and different things like that. And I understood it, but all I was allowing myself to do, it was like a big stretch for me to tell them to come in once or twice a week. I thought that was really doing something. And that's a step, or that's not saying that's bad. But what I really realized, because I embodied it, literally, my body received it. And I learned better that way because I'm neurodiverse and things just touch and feel is my better learning than hearing something, even if I think I understand it. So after doing that, I've really been able to say to my people that come in and they're like, I really want to make a change. And I'm like, well, here's what I did. And here's what we can do with you. You know, as many sessions as you can do closer together. If you stretch it out too far, it's like, how soon do you want to get better? Do you want to come once a month for 12 months? Or do you want to come to 12 sessions within a week and make that quantum leap there, you know? And so, you know, being able to have my story and feeling really confident about it because it was my personal experience and sharing that with people. And then because of all that, my back feels better. And then I feel really confident to move forward and to suggest that to people. Mm-hmm. Now I'm fully booked. Let me tell another story.
But before we go into your story, I want to just point something out and celebrate something.
See, you're slow it down.
Slow it down. I think it's the culture of our group, of like what we've created in this container. And I hope it remains the culture going forward with the next groups of people, is that getting, paying for and receiving myofascial release is part of our culture in this container. And being able to be a product of your product in order to sell better or to sell at an advanced level is necessary. And it's very evident where people are at in their practices and how much self-care they're doing. So I think, you know, when you first decided, okay, I'm going to go to T4T, this is scary. This is an investment. This is, you know, me being away. What if it doesn't work? What if I lose clients? Like all of the questioning, there is this transformation between who you were when you left and who you are now that like can never be undone. Even if you need, I mean, you're always going to need more MFR, right? We're never done. But who you've become now is a different version of who you were when you made that decision to go. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me what's happened also since you got back.
One of the things that, Heather, that you've talked about so much, and you've talked about it many times, and this is another one of these things. Sometimes you don't hear something until it's the right time, or it takes 100 times to hear something. But when Heather suggests pick your fully booked number, I picked the number 12 initially in the first program. But then my mind was like, but really 15 or 16. And so I wasn't really solid on that in myself. And I was like, oh, that doesn't matter. 12 to 15, oh, something, something. It wasn't like honed in. And then we had some conversation where you said it and somehow my ears worked differently or something. And I was like, okay, 12. That's my number, 12. And then Heather's like, all right, and do that for 5 or 6 weeks. And it's like, okay, 12. And I really locked in on it. And then you can't make this up. What has happened in the past 5 weeks is I have had at least 12, mm-hmm. 12 table hours. And then some weeks, even more than that. And so what I really liked about that, A, is, and the other part is what happens is it's happening the week before. So coming into this week, I was fully booked. Actually, I had 16. Mm-hmm. And so that I'm relaxed. I'm not perpetually like, oh my God, I don't have it, or I'm not quite there, or I failed this week, or I had some unreasonable number that I wasn't ever actually really going to be able to do. And that just doesn't feel good. But this does, where I feel fully booked. I'm going into the week. And if it's over your number, if you have 16 or 14, two people cancel. So what? I'm still fully booked. It didn't mess me up and throw me off my game like it normally might have.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I mean, I love this. This is great.
It is good.
But all these things needed to line up in that particular way. And so what happened with me during this training session or series was not what I initially thought I was going to be learning or doing. I mean, I guess it's just like going to a Barnes class. You know, you think you want to learn something, or you get what you need.
Mm, yeah.
So you sign up. All you got to do is sign up. Okay. You sign up and you can have your goals, but you may not get what you think you want, but you certainly get what you need.
I love that. I also think, too, one of the big transformations I saw you make was really understanding why your fully booked number was what it was, because in your mind, you had the thought error, like, I need to have 16 people in order to, I don't know if it was like to make enough money or to be successful. Like there was some underlying, like unresolved thoughts and feelings there that were creating not the actions that you wanted to take because you were feeling hustly and you were feeling disappointed in all these things. But then when you remembered, like, oh, when I initially raised my rate, I did it based on 12 people. And it's like factually 12 is fully booked for you, and it does create the financial safety that you want to create for yourself. Like you hit your numbers with that. And I think when we pointed that out and you went back and did the math, I'm assuming you did the math, you're like, oh, there's a reason why I picked that number. And it's okay for you to be like, and I physically feel okay seeing 16 people. So I have 16 hours available, but 12 is my goal. How does that land? Is that kind of what happened?
Yes, mostly. The other thing I like, and this isn't exactly what you're saying, but a lot of what you helped me do was to take the ceiling off of what I could do in my sessions, whether it be their frequency or the amount of time they came in. What's been helpful for me is to do two sessions with them back to back. So a 2-hour session, a few days in a row. And then that way I'm seeing less people, which helps me. So I can actually do more hours, table hours in a day. And that makes it easier for me. And I can go deeper with that person in that session.
How fun. What a great experience for you and for your clients. And I'm imagining the results they're getting are incredible. And I want to point something else out too, is you live on the coast. And when you came to me, you were like, I just have to live with this being a seasonal business. And I think you've finally proven to yourself that you don't have a seasonal business. Would you say that that's true? Because we're in the off season still, and you've created Fully Booked.
Yeah, I mean, that's what helps, is that I can focus. Right, because I thought it had to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And introducing that it's possible to be another way. And I was like, no, there's no way. I wasn't able to allow for that. But if we'll just have a little bit of room for possibility, or to be open to something, which I think I finally was, it didn't have to be that I had 16 people or 12 people. It's the hours with seeing them more frequently and for longer amounts of time. So it was different all the way around.
Yeah.
And definitely possible.
And definitely possible. I kept saying to you, and I mean, I said this to you when we worked together a couple of years ago, you don't have a seasonal business. You only have a seasonal business because you're making it seasonal, right? And you're cutting yourself off from what's possible for you year round. And I feel like it really sunk in recently. And the results you've created are outstanding. And I just feel like it's such a cool thing for your community to have access to you doing this, not just seasonally, and that more and more people know that you're there and you're bringing in the locals, right? And you'll be able to serve more people when they come in on season too, but you might not even have room for them.
Right. Well, and I could still do immersions or smaller, more work in a more condensed amount of time.
Yes.
And just do that all year round with whomever is here.
Yeah, with whomever is here. I love that. With whomever wants the therapy, right?
Whoever's
Your books
ready.
Are going to be full regardless of if they're from out of town or in town. You're a destination service.
That's right. And I now have set in my mind that I can be steady all year. Our next thing to coach on will be how to cap my weeks off. I'm already starting to experience that, but we don't have to talk about that now.
Yeah, right? Taking time off, planning ahead, making sure you're taking care of yourself. What's your plan for future MFR treatments for yourself?
Definitely more T for T's. I really like them. I've had experience in Malvern and I've had experience at Therapy on the Rocks. And they're both great places for different reasons. Both beautiful areas of the country and great therapists. So I'll continue to do that and treat myself, because one of the things that you teach is to help us to be able to plan these kinds of things in advance and make it part of our plan. I mean, you really have to, if you want to do something, you have to plan it and put it on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What would you say has been the biggest challenge you've overcome while being in the mastermind?
Maybe letting go of what I thought I was going to get, thinking I wasn't getting what I wanted, then that wasn't what I needed.
Yeah.
Which I think comes down a lot to just getting out of our own way, allowing someone to help you see something differently from a different perspective, and just being open and willing to change your perspective or your mind.
Yeah, I think that's good. Do you think this idea of coming into the mastermind and like working on getting fully booked, I think, I'm just curious if you agree, that the value of learning how to do that, because you also learned advanced selling. We talk about like immersions and stuff. You've learned those advanced selling skills at the same time while learning how to create the fully booked over and over and over again. Do you think the value is just as high for someone that gets that extra push and extra support to get fully booked sooner versus like coming in to create a second offer or only to learn advanced selling?
I don't mean to kind of repeat. I'm going to almost give the same answer or similarly, that I think you're going to get what you need. And so the mastermind is a more condensed, advanced group in many ways, even though some of the things that I was still integrating were more of the 12-month foundational, it still had all those other aspects of the advanced trainings with it. And so if that feels like that's somewhere somebody's ready to go to the next level, then the mastermind is where to go.
Yeah.
For other therapists that are like taking it to the next level and your brain sparking, that container of that group, I think is very, very valuable. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't feel left behind because you were working on getting fully booked. Did you feel included?
I felt included initially, but it's hard to hear that. And so there I was in my stuckness, listening to all these people doing really well and succeeding, and you're very happy for them, but it can be frustrating. So then that frustration and all that builds and it builds and it builds. And I think it helped crack the egg, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because I think what can happen is you can get into a group of people and you're looking around, looking over your shoulder, and you're like, oh, this person is doing this, or this person is doing better than me, in quotation marks, and I'm working on this, so something's wrong, you know, and you can spin out on it being wrong, or you can like look over your shoulder and be like, oh shit, I'm in a room with some cool people and I belong here and I'm going to do whatever I need to do for my business because it only affects me and I'm going to like blow my own mind in here, whatever that ends up being. So for you, like really creating a solid fully booked, like, don't you feel like now that you've done this in the off season, you've proven to yourself, there's got to be this like solidness to how you feel or this confidence level that's different than before?
Yes. I mean, I feel like I said, I feel like you've helped me, you know, just take the limits off of everything. It feels my brain now feels limitless, mm-hmm. and that I can create anything I want with my business.
I love that. Been in business for over 20 years, been an MFR therapist for 15 years, and you feel like your business is limitless.
Yes, in ways that it wasn't before. I mean, how could I change when it was just me in here listening to me say the same things over and over?
Brandon, what are we doing today? The same thing we did yesterday.
Same thoughts over and over and over.
I can't do this. Yeah. It is good to have someone else show you what's possible. And I think also to be surrounded in a room with people that are like really creating things that seemed like a dream. I think the idea of producing a bunch of MFR therapists that are making six figures seemed really scary and like a far, far away idea when I first started saying that and saying like, this is what I help people do. But now it's almost like inevitable that if you do these things, if you start to talk about and sell MFR in these ways, and you start to feel this way about yourself, ultimately the result is going to be that you have a six-figure business sooner than later.
Yes. And remembering that it could be steps. It might be 16 steps to you to get to that. It might be 3 steps. Mm-hmm. And if we can slow ourselves down, that can be your goal, but we have to slow ourselves down and listen to the steps. And you know, as a reminder to myself, if Heather introduces something, slow yourself down and take it in, because there's a reason she's saying that.
I love it. Can we talk a little bit about what it's been like to have neurodivergence that you were talking about before, and what that's been like as a business owner, as an MFR therapist, like being in coaching? Like, how has that affected you?
That's a good question. It's been challenging. Fortunately, there are at least one, if not two others in this, you know, mastermind container, which I found that very helpful. Here, once again, here's somebody else going through my same thing. And it has been very frustrating for me, because that is frustrating. But it's been so refreshing to be able to just be myself in this container on Zoom with these people, tears rolling down my face because I'm so frustrated because I feel like my brain's not working. And people are like, you're doing great. It's awesome. You know, just so much support from everybody. Not only from this, but from other aspects. And it's just helped me stay with things, which is one of my things, is to follow through all the way with something. And so if people are asking you about it or kind of, hey, where are you with this thing? You're like, oh, it helps to keep you going along with it. But basically, even though not everybody had that, I still felt so much support. No matter what's going on with anybody, no matter what level anybody was, everybody is just so supportive and wanting to help each other with resources and information and sharing. And it just really feels like a tight community of people that really care about each other, just like going to a seminar. It's like the same thing, but it's for your business, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, really nice container for that.
I love that so much. I also like the idea of people feeling like they belong, so you don't have to feel like you need to fit in. I think I heard Brené Brown talking about this, is like the definition of fitting in is deciding who do you need to be in order to be accepted in a room. But belonging is where you show up and you just get to be you. And you don't have to mask or do anything different in order to be accepted by the group. So I like this idea of feeling like you belong. And I feel the same way in this container. Also same at like MFR seminars, is like showing up and just deciding that you belong is super helpful. Even if you have to like make that decision every time you show up, like, I belong here. I don't have to fit in. It's okay for me to be me exactly how I am. And people like it. I think if we were all the same in this group, it would be so boring.
Yes. And you can just let go of all the things.
Yeah. All the masks.
Let it all go. Yes.
Yeah. All the coping mechanisms. It's like, you can just, I don't know, the messier, the better. It's so helpful, because then when you can show up and do that, it gives someone else permission to also just be kind of messy. Business is messy. It's like healing. It's not linear. And there's just a lot of stuff that happens throughout the year, business-wise, people-wise, client-wise, whatever, seasonal, business-wise, which is not a thing, but yes, it can still feel frustrating.
Yeah. And you're bringing up a good point. I mean, the vulnerability, if one gets to the point where they do feel that comfort, then they can allow themselves to be vulnerable. And it really, it helps us all. You know, so many times I've come to coaching that day and maybe I didn't feel like speaking that day and someone else shared something and, oh gosh, me too. You know, oh, I've got that. And I mean, I didn't even have to get coached, or, you know, I still got coaching. And everyone, everything they say, there's some piece of it that you find helpful for you. And so that's just very useful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it starts with feeling safe and then allowing oneself to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And knowing, like, the more vulnerable you're willing to be, I think the quicker you're going to get what you need, because it's just how it works, I guess. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, but it's true in my own life. Like when I'm just vulnerable, I risk vulnerability, or I'm just honest with what's going on with me, I usually get the answer sooner. I get the help that I need. I allow for the support to be there. And sometimes we don't even know what we need until we say things out loud. We're all just like in our minds trying to solve everything, and we can't do it alone.
Yeah, it's like the braveness of feeling the fear of saying the thing and then doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, you know, earlier, you keep going, you're feeling fear, you're feeling unsure, and you just keep moving. And again, with the confidence of the group, it just, there's something about that that really, you don't feel alone in the things that you're doing.
Yeah. And I think we've done a good job of normalizing how difficult it is to be a business owner and how much life is 50-50, and you can have really intense things happen with a patient and maybe have a patient say things to you that you don't like. And you can like sell the most MFR you've ever sold in 1 week. Like you can have this like high and a low at the same time, and you can hold both things and it doesn't mean anything's gone wrong. And we just keep expanding our capacity to hold both things and not need everything to be going right in order to celebrate. Like, you know, it can be 50% going right and 50% something is really difficult, and we can celebrate both things at the same time. It's so important to be able to see that that's how life really is. It's not just like one or the other.
Right. Like when one is successful at their business, that doesn't mean they don't have problems.
Yeah.
Or not challenges, you know, and challenges, they're still going to happen. Yeah. That's going to happen while, you know, you might have a client like that. And then your next client is like, oh, I feel so great. I went running, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that just happens. And then, like you said, we can celebrate that with one another. And we can also kind of allow our brains to think out loud and be witnessed by others. That helps us move to the next thing we need to do. Even if no one offered information, that witnessing is so crucial and critical, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like being seen for whatever it is that's going on, both good and mildly bad or terrible, right? Like life doesn't just stop because you made $100,000 or because you got fully booked or because you learned how to talk about and sell MFR. Life is still going to life in the background. And having a successful business does not keep you protected from anything ever going wrong, like clients canceling or not having policies in place. So it's a good thing to get all those things stored up when you are feeling good and not wait for something to go wrong in order to have those. Would you say you feel like you have your policies in place, like you know all of your procedures now, like everything is feeling clean inside your business?
Well, that's an interesting question, Heather. Let's go back to the neurodiversity. I don't have those in place because there's a bunch of reasons that have to do with the neurodiversity, and I'm working on that. That's an aspect that you've also supported me in coming to the realization that it's okay to take medication if you need to take medication to help you think through and slow your brain down and follow through, then that's what you need to do. So I'm still in the process of that. I know what my policies are in my head, but as we know, it's not as effective as when you actually have them in place and your clients clearly know that. So I have not set that up yet. However, I have seen the benefit and heard the benefit of others doing it. And I will get your help on that when I get this other thing in place. But I do feel like that you have helped me also with that step of affirming that I need to do what is right for me. And if it's something that seems like a stigma of taking medication, then if that's what I need, then that's what I need to do. And so I'm in the process of that.
Yeah, perfect. Well, and I think too, it's just nice to know, like, you can do all of these things and things can be, quote unquote, like a little messy in the background and you still belong in the group. Like, I'm not looking at what you're doing and being like, oh, well, Brandon, you don't have this done, so you're in detention. Like, there's none of that. Like, it's totally fine. And also, I think finding ways to make it doable for you to get your policies in place. And it might be something like where you talk into some sort of product or some sort of AI where you can like voice your policies and have AI tape it out for you. You know, like there's so many options. We'll troubleshoot that in the group and figure that out.
Yes. And that is helpful. And I really like the way that your container, everything, you know, the foundation group and this group, they both have their things that it's very helpful for. But in the very beginning, I think it's helpful to have, I mean, some people like to go through all the modules and all the things in a row and get their news, their papers, and they got their tabs and stuff. That's not me. But if that's what you want to do, then that's great. You know, that's not the way it's going to look for me. You have thing that one would need. You cover every topic that anybody would want to need about your business and have resources for implementing that and getting that straight. You've thought of everything. You know, we haven't come across something yet that you're like, oh, I haven't done that. Like, you really have thought through this very well and have it. It's all right there.
Thank you. I like that perception of it. Sometimes I'm like, this might be kind of messy back here. I don't know.
No.
And you know what? Like, I'm not that kind of learner either, where you go through a checklist. Like, I kind of want to know. I like to know what I don't know so I can consume what I don't know. I don't like to repeat. Actually, that's not true, because we all know I've had fascial pelvis 10 times. So I don't mind repeating things, but I do like to have access to, like, what don't I know? And I like to consume things that I don't know and reconsume things that I do know. It's like easier then. But I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to smile all day about how good my program is. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah. And it's self-paced, you know, you don't have to go through at the same speed as someone else. You can take your time. You don't even have to do it in the order. You can, if you're having a problem with the one thing, it's bite-sized, compartmentalized things that you can just go, oh, this is the thing I'm struggling with today, and go straight to that. So lots and lots and lots of resources.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that you don't have policies set up, because it just shows that, like, you can do the things that are important to you first, and then we can circle back to this. You don't have to stop, I think, is what I want to say. Like, just because you haven't done this piece or this piece doesn't mean you have to stop learning how to talk about and sell MFR and overcome objections, because that's how you get fully booked.
Right. I mean, I love it, because I'm... You know, I've been doing body work for 26 years and I have the same intake form that they gave me when I went to school.
Yeah. You used to be upset that that was your form, right? And I'm like, doesn't matter.
And I'm like, okay, great. I'll get to that when I get to
it. Yeah, maybe you never change it. It's fine. Who cares? You know, that intake form is like the least helpful piece of paper, right? It's really when clients walk into the room and you walk into the room and what you ask them and what you observe when you're in person. That's so important. It's like that relationship. I think a lot of us, I observe this all the time, are so micro-focused on the paperwork, and people really don't give a shit about filling out paperwork. They miss things. They're not honest. They don't remember that car accident they had. They don't remember that they didn't sleep good last week. They don't remember that they fell on the ice last winter. But if you are looking at them and making eye contact with them and touching their body, you're going to see the things that get the information that you need. And when you feel like you can help anyone that walks into your room and you've created this confidence for yourself, you're going to ask them such good questions and they're going to give you answers and you're going to give them an amazing treatment. And it doesn't matter what your intake form looks like. Obviously, like, have whatever is legally like the least amount of things you need for your letters behind your name, like whatever legally you need to have and whatever you need. But outside of that, it's really, who are you when you walk into the treatment room? What do you ask your clients? And like, what are you looking for? What do you need to know so you can help them best?
Yes, I may implement just the picture diagram and the release.
The sign, yeah, sign your life the way here, yeah. Yes. Yes, so good. All right, is there anything else you want people to know about either program or your experience being in the programs?
I think that people, if they have found themselves here listening to this podcast and they have not taken one of your programs, that they would ask themselves, what's holding me back? Am I ready to take my business to the next level? Whether that be starting your business from day one or taking it to the very next level to 250,000, there are people all the way in between. And if you're serious and you're ready, even if you think there's something wrong with you in some kind of way, whatever, you're in the right place.
Yeah. I think too, like just normalizing getting help in business, because where else do we learn this? We don't learn business. Like MFR seminars are for skills and they do such an incredible job at teaching us skills. They can't do everything. They don't have time to teach us business. And so that's what I am for. Like I've created this based on what I wished I would have had when I went into business. And it's normal to not know what you're doing, but it's like, get support. You get help learning how to throw pot in pottery, right? If you're playing guitar, you would need guitar lessons. You know, like, why is it okay to spend money on those things? But then when it comes to business, people are like, I should just know how to do that. I should just know it all. And if I need help, something's really wrong. It's not even about anything being wrong. Get help preventatively, just like you would want your clients to with myofascial release. Learn how to sell myofascial release in that way so that you can never under-earn and never burn out and help make MFR mainstream.
And even if you don't think you need coaching, it's likely that you need coaching.
Yeah, and it's okay to need it and to just want it.
And deserve it.
And deserve it. I love it. Just like everybody deserves to have a T for T.
That's right.
Will you tell people how they can find you and where they can book online?
My website is brandonbsutton.com.
I love it. brandonbsutton.com. And then do you have online scheduling right there?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. And then what town are you located in again?
Moorhead City, North Carolina. It's on the coast of North Carolina.
Okay, awesome. So go check out Brandon's website and his scheduling link that he has. We're very proud of him. Schedule online. Get in while you can. I really appreciate you being here. And we will see you all on another episode of the MFR Coaches Podcast. Everybody take care. See you next week. Bye. Thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute and rate and review the podcast. I appreciate it. For more information, please follow me on Facebook and Instagram at TheMFRCoach. And check out my website, www.themfrcoach.com, for more information. If you are currently not working 20 hours or less and making six figures in your MFR business, I want to help you change that. Make sure you tune into the show and get on my email list so you never miss out on important trainings and information. To be the first to find out when we are enrolling next for my 12-month Business Foundations coaching program, get on that email list at www.themfrcoach.com/join. Inside this program, you'll learn how to raise your rate, overcome objections, and sell MFR. You'll become the MFR therapist that never under-earns and never burns out.
It's up to us to make MFR mainstream, and it starts with you and your successful MFR practice. See you next week.